Many challenges are faced when choosing the right platform and language that will provide the best user experience. It is necessary to consider the language capabilities on the platform, the startup time, and the ability to gracefully degrade if the platform does not provide the required functionality, particularly a problem on the web and with web browsers, for example. A platform is a combination of hardware and software. For example, you get the x86 32-bit Windows, and you can also get a 64-bit version providing a different baseline capability. The same can also be said for Linux, and the same can also be said for mobile platforms like the iPhone and the Android, which run on an ARM-based architecture rather than an Intel-based architecture. More than this, the platform provides an environment in which software both lives and can interact with other things in its environment. For example, a webcam, a GPS tracker, or files, for example. So when choosing the right language, you have to consider what it is on the platform that you want access to and whether that can be gained easily using this language. All platforms have different APIs, that is, give them access to the low-level capabilities, such as accessing the files or a GPS. And because of this, all have different capabilities and limitations. Likewise, the platforms can also come in many combinations and provide different functionality. And they can be freely configured or limited. For example, you know, in the PC world, you can freely add components to a computer with, you know, low-level drivers and stuff like that that provide the API functionality to the software to be able to access these things. So, as we can see, the choice of platform and the functionality provided from the platform can be vastly different for just a few users. The same can be said with languages. Each platform will prefer a different set of software tools which can take full advantage of all functionality. And each platform will prefer different languages. For example, .NET on Windows, C, C++ on Linux, and Objective-C and Cocoa for OS X are just a few examples. And of course, you can then go into Java and other languages on mobile platforms. In order for something, including websites, to be considered cross-platform, it must function on more than one computer architecture or operating system. And often people want to target and make a cross-platform application. And this can be a time-consuming task when platforms are so varied, and you have to consider whether you want to use a single language that can be run and compiled to work on every platform, or whether you want to target specific, you know, get the functionality and the API access of each platform and thus have to maintain multiple code bases. But the same can also be said for the architectures. A software written for a specific operating system might not work on the 64-bit and the 32-bit architectures. So as we can see, there's a whole series of factors that will affect whether or not you choose a specific language or whether you choose a specific platform or indeed architecture. So when it comes to choosing the right language, we can look at the commonalities, what the platforms generally support. Things like C and C++ are generally the best languages for cross-platform, but still require cross-compilation and testing. C is one of the, you know, the lowest level type of languages, and it keeps the application low level fast and with direct access to many of the platform features in the majority of cases. Other than the low level languages that are in that are compiled directly into machine code, there are also what they're called interpreted languages. Interpreted languages are programming languages in which programs are indirectly executed or interpreted by another interpreter program. These can be contrasted with a compiled language, as mentioned before, which is converted into machine code and then directly executed by the host CPU. So an interpreted language uses some a layer between the code and the processor. But again, any language may be compiled, so the distinction is just about which require compiling in order to run. In many cases, there is little performance difference between an interpretive or a compiled-based approach, except if you're doing just-in-time compilation. So many examples of interpreted languages exist that can be compiled into machine code, or those that can be just run, such as PHP or Python. As I mentioned, the interpreted languages can require a framework or runtime environment to just-in-time compile, the typical example here being Java, which requires the JVM, the Java Virtual Machine, to be able to execute and run the application. But this often adds to the startup time of the application, as the Java Virtual Machine has to start up first. This also has an effect on mobile platforms on things like the battery life, where you're not just running the software, but you're also running the entire interpreter for the language and the software package. In order to get full cross-platform capabilities out of interpreted languages, most of them have to then be compiled. For example, you can compile Python down into linked C arrays, which you can then execute and compile for many architectures, 64-bit, 32-bit, and Windows and stuff like that, very easily. If you abstract the platform, in many cases, though, you lose access to the low-level API. For example, you now have to use the JVM abstraction layer to gain access to low-level things like the GPS, the clock, and stuff like that. So you lose direct access to the things that are available directly on the platform. So what I would encourage, you know, when choosing a language is do the research before you decide on a language to use for a software. Just because you know how to write Java, it might not be the best thing to write a software application in. The idea here, and the idea throughout the Rich Applications course, is to think of the user experience, not necessarily limit the user experience based upon what you actually have a knowledge of. So what are the strategies when choosing a platform or a language that you want to write an application on? Obviously, some people will choose a platform and stick with it. For example, they will become an expert in iPhone development or Android development. This is a simpler solution, but you have limited market. Of course, that market could be very big, but it's still a limited market. And, as mentioned in the last lecture, you are putting all your eggs in someone else's basket. This also makes it very hard to switch, because you are basically learning a single platform. So here you are basically gambling on the success of that platform and that it will give you the right user experience for the piece of software you're writing and is the appropriate platform for the piece of software you're writing. Of course, you might be targeting that particular platform and the users that are using it. Such as, for example, in the past that might have been the BlackBerry platform, which for business and office functionality. So you might have been specifically targeting that because that was the most common. These days, of course, all those BlackBerry developers are now thinking they've got to move over to a different platform, thus there is a steep learning curve here. And, of course, there are others who are already developing for the alternative platforms that might already be developing the same similar applications, which not only means a steeper learning curve, but it's also harder to break into the market because you're likely, because of the learning curve, to be late to this market. Mobile platforms are a great example of one where you can't use the same language on every platform because the interpreters don't exist or aren't allowed to be used on each platform. Specifically the case with things like Flash, which people might choose to write applications in, which cannot be run, for example, on the iOS platform, and I believe the BlackBerry platform as well. So you could choose a platform and stick with it to get the best out of that platform and access to the low-level APIs, but as mentioned, it's hard to switch. Another strategy for developing for multiple platforms and mobile platforms is to maintain multiple code bases. This is the most complicated strategy, as you will have to learn many languages, and it's the most expensive because of this very fact. The advantage is, however, that you get access to all of the APIs and all the various platforms, but you have to keep all the features in synchronization, and you might have to fix a single bug on three code bases, or potentially you get one bug in one code base. So it does make it rather complicated to maintain, because you're effectively maintaining multiple different looking, different feeling code bases. Some applications take a different route to solving this problem, where they do have multiple code bases for a single product, but the product actually looks completely different and is maintained by a different team on each platform. For example, Microsoft Office on the Mac and on Windows. Although they have now standardized the look and the feel of the Office application, there is a set of functionality which doesn't work between each platform. For example, in Windows, you can have ribbon plugins for Microsoft Office, whereas these are not yet supported on the Mac, and it's unclear as to whether they will be supported. Another strategy for developing for multiple platforms is to use a common platform such as the web. So writing your application in HTML5 and JavaScript using things like JSON and jQuery and other web-based technologies. But these have to be interpreted by the browser. And as we all know, browsers have different levels of functionality depending on, you know, what their support level is and how up-to-date they are. So, for example, under Windows XP or in Internet Explorer 6, things like Gmail have to gracefully degrade in order to provide a limited set of functionality, which actually provides a good enough experience for the user. And, of course, on sites like YouTube, you now get warnings about how out-of-date your browser version is and how you will have limited functionality. So graceful degradation is another way of handling a multiple platform or abstraction layer problem. As mentioned, there are other platforms such as other interpreted things like Flash. But people have begun using Flash for video, and there is this argument about, you know, whether Flash should be supported on the platforms, and it's a bit of a battery drain on a lot of platforms. So choosing both your platform and the language is an extremely important point of any project. It shouldn't be based just upon your experience. It should be based upon the intended user experience. For example, don't make a location-based application on a desktop machine, for example, because I very much doubt anyone's going to carry a desktop around with them. Don't make an application online only if you intend for your application to be used internationally. A user is unlikely to have a data roaming contract to cover downloading the data for your application, and they are not going to be very happy at you if they end up being charged a large mobile bill for just simply using your application. Finally, don't make a cross-platform application if it can't reach your primary market. While a cross-platform application written in an interpreted language may sound ideal, if it can't be used on the device that you are intending where your user market is, then it's probably not worth even considering it in the first place. Once you have chosen a platform, you also have to consider the diverse range of different configurations that are existing for that platform. So testing a complex product becomes difficult when the market is so diverse. This provides demand for support services for the platform. For example, PC support services have done rather well over the years because there is such a diverse range and combination of hardware and software that can be used to make a Windows PC. You could compare this to the Apple market, where all of the platforms are controlled. And this includes both the mobile, the laptop, and the desktop platforms. All the configurations are well controlled and well defined, such that the support market is certainly a lot less for users. And the company themselves are able to support their users directly. So, for example, in the Android market, this is also true. So you might choose to develop for an Android platform, but you have to consider that because it's an open platform and it's an open operating system that can be used by companies on many different types of devices, the user experience is likely to vary due to processor speeds and screen resolutions. And also, some users might not actually have access to your product in their app store because of the fact that particular Android platform doesn't give you access to everything in the marketplace. So the Amazon devices are an example of this, where they have their own Android marketplace and don't allow access to the one by Google. So if you develop an Android application for this platform, some users might be disappointed that it's not available. Additionally, these markets also operate in two different ways. The Android market, as I said, is open and you can pretty much get anything in the store, whereas the Apple market is rather closed. Both have a strong API, but diversity of devices and operating system support causes confusion. Conversely, when a problem hits an iOS device, the whole community is affected, so the support level is greater. On Android, if a problem hits your particular device, the user could feel isolated. And I have heard a couple of cases where this has been exactly what has happened. And then it's difficult to tell whether it's the application developer who has the problem or whether it's the platform itself that has the problem. And of course, the application developer might not have access to your platform to be able to test it on. At this point, I leave it open to whether you want to stop and have a discussion with some friends or colleagues about the different user experiences provided between this diverse range of platforms. So, pick a number of competing projects, for example, tablets, and discuss the different user experiences provided by each. I ask the question, is it Google versus Apple in the tablet platform? Or is it Samsung, Amazon, and Motorola, which all use Android versus Apple? And this could be an interesting point to have a discussion on to see what you believe. And also, are the experiences consistent across all devices? I've already mentioned that the diversity will cause inconsistent experiences, but what is it that you feel for different types of applications would be a consistent user experience? And does the intended functionality of the device, for example, the device might primarily be an e-book reader, but also, because it runs Android, you could browse the web on it. So does this intended functionality change the user experience? Do they think that it's great that you can do other things on an ebook reader? Or do they feel that because it's an Android device, it's rather limited by the company to be an ebook reader? So in summary, hard choices have to be made early, both concerning your platform and the language chosen to develop on this platform. And these should be not just based on your knowledge. If you know Java, that might not be the most appropriate thing to use. And that is potentially the most important thing, is that you need to consider the users that you're developing the application for, not just your knowledge. And you shouldn't be afraid to learn something new at that point. It also might be the difference between success and failure of your application. If you make a wrong decision early on in the project, then it could be the wrong decision that lasts you, stays with you for a number of years. So choosing the right platform and the right language and the right distribution mechanism and everything that has to be decided at the beginning of the project is absolutely key to the success of a project.